We'll be in 1 Samuel chapter 15 this morning. 1 Samuel chapter number 15. I have been debating in my own mind, in my own soul, what to do as far as I need a meeting with all of our Master Club people. I've thought about definitely next Sunday night. I've been thinking even tonight. We have some folks that are out of town. All these different times, so that makes it a little bit difficult. But I certainly need to know, if you are, how I'm going to have you and how I'm going to be, what position and so forth. If there's going to be any changes or so forth, we need to know those kinds of things. By the way, we even need people to help with game time with different ones. So there's a need there as well. Just always these different things. So what good is games in Master Club? If you were a teacher, you'd say, praise God for game time. It kind of helps wear them down. But did you know games for kids, they ought not consume their lives, but they can also be that which puts into principle or into practice principles they have learned. You might have a hard time understanding that when you're refereeing between two kids, but it actually, those things have to take place. So it's ministry. It's things we can do for the Lord and something that can be accomplished in their lives. Amen? Yeah. So praise God, we have some opportunities. Some places folks say, well, what can I do? There's nothing for me to do. Come and tell me that. Okay. By the way, you who are handy with things, we still have a basement downstairs that needs painted up and so forth, and some things down there. There's always some things. I've looking at the lobby, and it's not been done over for a while. That can be done, and some thoughts in here and so forth. But there's always all those kinds of things that can be accomplished. There's always cleaning. Did you know that? Always things to be cleaned and done over and so forth. Things get used, and there's always things that can be repaired. If you have those kinds of skills. I don't know if you drove in and noticed, but some fences put up around the air conditioners. And it's not to hide them, it's to try to discourage thieves. Okay? And we didn't put a wire fence up that they could use some wire cutters with. Put up a wood fence, it's a little harder to move and so forth. So hopefully that discourages them from wanting to steal our air conditioners. By the way, if any of you are planning on stealing our air conditioners, please take these two next. The others are all brand new. You know what's sad about that is, what was it, about $7,000 to replace these two that we had out here. And thank the Lord for insurance, but, we pay nearly $4,000 a year in insurance. And that will not go down when churches have to claim those kinds of things. And so these kinds of things, they all cost. So another thing you can do is be praying for God to protect our properties. Okay? 2 weeks ago, our neighbor had his car broken into. We have had some of our vehicles not really broken into, but ransacked a little bit on different occasions, gas stolen out of them. And different things like that. So there's all sorts of things that are always available to do and be in prayer about. 1 Samuel chapter number 15. 1 Samuel chapter number 15. It says, Samuel also said to Saul, the Lord sent me to anoint thee to be king over his people, over Israel. Now therefore hearken thou unto the voice of the words of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, I remember that which Amalek did to Israel, how he laid wait for him in the way when he came up from Egypt. Now go and smite Amalek and utterly destroy all that they have and spare them not, but slay both man and woman, infant and suckling, ox and sheep, camel and ass. And Saul gathered the people together and numbered them in Telaim, 200,000 footmen and 10,000 men of Judah. And Saul came to a city of Amalek and laid wait in the valley. And Saul said to the Kenites, go, depart, get you down from among the Amalekites, lest I destroy you with them. For ye showed kindness to all the children of Israel when they came up out of Egypt. So the Kenites departed from among the Amalekites. And Saul smote the Amalekites from Havilah until thou comest to Shur, that is over against Egypt. And he took Agag, the king of the Amalekites, alive, and utterly destroyed all the people with the edge of the sword. But Saul and the people spared Agag, and the best of the sheep, and of the oxen, of the fatlings, and the lambs, and all that was good, and would not utterly destroy them, but everything that was vile and refuse, that they utterly destroyed. Then came the word of the Lord unto Samuel, saying, It repenteth me that I have set up Saul to be king, for he is turned back from following me, and hath not performed my commandments. And it grieved Samuel, and he cried unto the Lord all night. And when Samuel rose early to meet Saul in the morning, it was told Samuel, saying, Saul came to Carmel, and behold, he set him up a place, and is gone about, and passed on, and gone down to Gilgal. And Samuel came to Saul, and Saul said to him, Blessed be thou the Lord, I have performed the commandment of the Lord. And Samuel said, What meaneth then this bleating of the sheep in mine ears, and the lowing of the oxen which I hear? And Samuel said, They have brought them from the Amalekites, for the people spared the best of the sheep and of the oxen to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God, and the rest we have utterly destroyed. Then Samuel said to Saul, Stay, and I will tell thee what the Lord has said to me this night. And he said unto him, Say on. And Samuel said, When thou wast little in thine own sight, wast not thou made the head of the tribes of Israel? And the Lord anointed thee king over Israel. And the Lord sent thee on a journey and said, Go and utterly destroy the sinners, the Amalekites, and fight against them until they be consumed. Wherefore then didst thou not obey the voice of the Lord, but didst fly upon the spoil, and didst evil in the sight of the Lord? And Saul said unto Samuel, Yea, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord, and have gone the way which the Lord sent me, and have brought Agag the king of Amalek, and have utterly destroyed the Amalekites. But the people took of the spoil, sheep and oxen, the chief of the things which should have been utterly destroyed, to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God in Gilgal. And Samuel said, Hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices, as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king. And Saul said to Samuel, I have sinned, for I have transgressed the commandment of the Lord and thy words, because I feared the people and obeyed their voice. Now therefore I pray thee, pardon my sin, and turn again with me, that I may worship the Lord. And Samuel said unto Saul, I will not return with thee, for thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, and the Lord hath rejected thee from being king over Israel. And as Samuel turned about to go away, he laid hold upon the skirt of his mantle, and it rent. And Samuel said unto him, The Lord hath rent the kingdom of Israel from thee this day, and hath given it to a neighbor of thine that is better than thou. And also the strength of Israel will not lie nor repent, for he is not a man that he should repent. Then he said, I have sinned, yet honor me now, I pray thee, before the elders of my people and before Israel, and turn again with me, that I may worship the Lord thy God. So Samuel turned again after Saul, and Saul worshipped the Lord. Then said Samuel, Bring ye hither to me Agag, the king of the Amalekites. And Agag came to him delicately. And Agag said, Surely the bitterness of death is past. And Samuel said, As thy sword hath made women childless, so thy mother be childless among women. And Samuel hewed Agag in pieces before the Lord in Gilgal. Then Samuel went to Ramah, and Samuel went up to his house to Gibeah of Saul. And Samuel came no more to see Saul until the day of his death. Nevertheless, Samuel mourned for Saul, and the Lord repented that he had made Saul king over Israel. Father, as we have read these words, our hearts have been stricken over and over at this king who disobeyed you. Oh God, today I pray that you might speak to our hearts. Oh God, today I pray that you would bless and work in every life. For I pray for the power and the wisdom of the Spirit of God to move in and amongst us through these lips and this preacher. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I've entitled my message today, Caution. Handle the Bible with care. If there's a story in the Word of God that ought to put the fear of God into our hearts concerning the handling of the Word of God, this certainly ought to be it. I was in college. I got saved. And I was sitting in a class in the church I attended, and we were discussing. There was probably about 15 teenagers, and I think I was probably the oldest of the group. Maybe another one was of that age as well. And we were talking about the Bible. I don't remember anything else concerning that, but I remember a young man stood up, and he took his Bible, and as he stood up, he threw it on the floor. He was trying to illustrate that this book with its pages is no different than any other. He then took his foot and stomped upon it, trying to make clear his illustration. I have never lost that picture in my mind. I've wondered many times since that incident, what happened to a man who had such disrespect for the Word of God? One who during Sunday school would do and perform such a feat. We look here and we see a man by the name of Saul. And we find that Saul has been rejected by God. He says in verse number 23, "Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath rejected thee from being king." Because of that rejection of the Word of God, God dethrones him. I believe that it would be good for you and I to look and discover, why did God reject his position as king because of his action? What was it that he did? What took place that caused God to reject Saul as king? Very obvious as we read this chapter and as we study and consider, Saul did not perform the Word of God. God had given him specific instruction and he did not obey it. Matter of fact, we might look and notice this because it'd be very important. He obeyed much of it, but not all of it. He did some of what God said to do, but he did not fulfill it in its entirety. We find that he kept King Agag. We find that they kept the best of the sheep and of the cattle. We find they kept the best of the stuff. I might also remind you that there were some Amalekites, at least one, who escaped the sword besides King Agag. For it was at the death of Saul that an Amalekite came upon him, and Saul asked him to slide his sword through him because he was dying. What a commentary upon this life of a man whom God had so appointed for wonderful things. Let's understand something today. The Word of God is very important. Let's say that a little bit more strongly. The Word of God is very, very, very important. It is that which will last throughout eternity. This world that you and I will dissolve and be gone, but His Word is established forever. Matthew 5 and verse 18, the Lord, He says, "Verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, not one jot or tittle shall in any wise pass till all be fulfilled." this His Word, even its commas, its periods, its semicolons, all the punctuation, all of it is very, very important. And so how you and I handle the Word of God, we ought to consider, because it needs to be handled with great caution. I want us to stop and consider today the importance of this chapter in your life and mine as we consider what God's Word says to you and I concerning Saul and his handling of the Word of God. I want us to think about, first of all, the potential of this man named Saul. We find that when Saul was handpicked by God and brought Samuel, the spiritual leader, to place his hand upon him and anoint him, that Saul was a very humble individual. We find that in those beginning days, he really did not want the job, and yet it was conferred upon him. He was a man that was of tremendous stature. It said he was head and shoulders above the people. I used to hate when Brother Blue would preach in Seattle because he would always say that King Saul was 6'6" and look right at me. And I was ready to walk down the aisle and repent of whatever I'd done wrong because I knew he was preaching at me. And he said he was, in later course, was very respected by his people. They had accepted him as the leader. They had wanted a king. Though he had made, prior to this time, some major mistakes in leadership, and yet he was a man that God had appointed to that job. Let me take you back into the book of Deuteronomy for a moment and give you a little background of this nation of Amalek. In chapter number 25 and verse number 17, he says, "Remember what Amalek did unto thee by the way when you were come forth out of Egypt." You remember the story when Moses stood on the hill and Joshua had the armies, and Aaron and Hur held up the hands of Moses because they were battling against a country that tried to stop them. You remember that story? That was the Amalekites. And because, they sought to hinder the progress of the people of God, we find here in Deuteronomy that God pronounces sentence upon him. He says, "How he met thee by the way, and smote the hindmost of thee, even all that were feeble behind thee, when thou wast faint and weary, and he feared not God. Therefore it shall be, when the Lord thy God hath given thee rest from all thine enemies round about, in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee for an inheritance to possess it, that thou shalt blot out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven, thou shalt not forget it." They are in the land. They have become secure. They have a king over them. And God says to Saul, "I want you to do this job that I spoke of in the book of Deuteronomy." Now let's stop and think about it and put it to a little context in our own time. Let's say that right now we read the book of Revelation. We go to chapter number 11 and we read of the two anointed ones, the two witnesses, the two olive trees, if you please, that is spoken of during the book of the Revelation, and God comes to you and say, "Guess what? You're one of them. You have been chosen for something that the Bible has predicted. This is the spot we find Saul is in. This is something God had ordained some 400 years previous, and now God has called upon Saul to take care of this situation." We find that Saul partially obeys God. We find he does go to Amalek. We find he does slay most of the people. We do find he slays most of the animals and destroys most of the stuff, but he does not fulfill the Word of God. The potential of Saul. I'm thinking about it. I wondered if Saul had fulfilled the Word of God rather than David writing the Psalms, would God have given that job to Saul? I don't know, but there was tremendous potential here. But there was something that got in his way. And Samuel addresses that in verse number 17. And Samuel said, when thou wast little in thine sight, wast thou not made the head of the tribes of Israel, and the Lord anointed thee king over Israel? Saul had potential, but Saul had an issue with pride. It displayed itself very vividly by his believing of his way to be better than God's way. He came to the spot that he thought, hey, I've got this thing figured out. God told me to go and slay them, and we're going to do that, and we're going to keep the best of it, though, that we might have a great, wonderful fellowship and time of feasting, a time that we can sacrifice this to God and give Him wonderful glory. But God said, utterly destroy them. But Saul had a better idea. Let's also understand, by taking the king of Amalek back, old King Agag, it was also his way of walking into the city and all the adulation from the people, because that was the way kings did in that time, that they might have the praise of the people as they drug along their conquered foe. He has a pride issue that destroys all of this because he thinks he has a better way. Caution. Handle the Word of God with great care. The potential that is in the lives of people is absolutely tremendous. But there is one thing that can destroy it, and it's when we begin to think we have a better way. When we begin to think, hey, I can do it just a little bit different than the Word of God. And so we find that God sends His preacher. God sends Samuel to speak to him. We go back to verse number 10. It says, then the word of the Lord, came unto Samuel, saying, it repenteth me that I have set up Saul to be king, for he's turned back from following me and hath not performed my commandments. I want you to notice something in verse number 11. You don't know this about your preacher. You probably don't know it about most preachers. But it says, and it grieved Samuel, and he cried unto the Lord all night. When he finds out of this man not doing as God wanted to do, it brought great grief into the life of the preacher. And yet we find, because God told him to, Samuel had to confront these people. In verse number 14, and Samuel said, what meaneth then this bleating of the sheep in mine ear? He had come to Saul and spoke to Saul, and Saul said in verse 13, blessed be thou of the Lord, I have performed the commandments of the Lord. He said, what meaneth then the bleating of these sheep in mine ears, and the lowing of the oxen which I hear. I want you to notice that he did what we so often do. He begins to argue with the preacher and make excuses. Notice verse 15. Look at it very closely. And Saul said, they have brought them from the Amalekites. For the people spared the best of the sheep and of the oxen to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God, and the rest we have utterly destroyed. Saul said, not me. It wasn't me. Samuel, it was those other folks. I had nothing to do with it. It's the old blame game, if you please, as he places the blame somewhere else. Verse 16, Samuel said unto Saul, stay, and I will tell thee what the Lord has said to me this night. And he said unto him, say on. And we find that Saul is now having a sermon on humility preached to him. It is very pointed. But rather than listening to Samuel, rather than seeing what God is trying to teach him in the matter of pride, we find that Saul does not bow his head and go to the altar of God. He claims that he brought for the altar. Rather than taking the Sermon on Humility to heart, in his pride and his arrogance, he even goes farther and says, "We brought this back for God." And so the preacher preaches again very plainly. Notice verse 22. "And Samuel said, Hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is what, brethren? Better than sacrifice. To hearken than the fat of rams. For rebellion," what is rebellion? It's simply, as described by this chapter, not doing completely what God says to do. Rebellion. It is saying, "I have an excuse." What's rebellion? It's somebody else. What's rebellion? Not realizing, not understanding, not being willing to accept what has been said concerning himself. It is as a sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Oftentimes we get together in little groups and we're talking about family, and I've heard folks say, "Boy, my family is really stubborn." We get proud of that. Brethren, it's nothing to be proud of. The Bible says that stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. It's a worship of self. And then he says, "Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king." He preaches. He makes it very plain to him. And notice what takes place. And we need to look very carefully at this. "And Saul said unto him," now he finally says, "Samuel, I have sinned. For I have transgressed the commandment of the Lord and thy words, because I feared the people and obeyed their voice." Notice there, though he is now saying, "I've done this," he is still making provision of blame upon others. Not taking the entire thing. It's still somewhat their fault. But he goes on. He says, "Now therefore I pray thee, pardon my sin and turn again with me that I may worship the Lord." Could it be that Saul is wanting Samuel to come back to that place of worship, go with him, that all of his nation might see him? Could that be? "Samuel said unto him," or unto Saul, "I will not return with me, for thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, and the Lord hath rejected thee from being king." Repentance, I don't believe, is ever turning that you might be promoted. Saul makes an outward repentance, but it's for the purpose of personal promotion. Repentance is turning away, not seeking prominence once again. It's seeking for God to have that place of preeminence. And as we read further, we find that in his desperation, as Samuel begins to leave, he grabs a hold of his skirt. And as he grabs a hold and Samuel is walking forward, it rips. And Samuel turns back to him and he says, "The Lord hath rent the kingdom of Israel from thee this day and hath given it to a neighbor of thine that is better than thou." If he had shown such desperation in rejecting God's word and seeking for it to be reestablished, I believe the outcome would have been quite different. rather than arguing with Samuel. It would have been better had he now instructed the people to slay the animals and taken King Agag, which Samuel later does, and slays him. The only reason I believe he goes back with him. But Saul never did that. The word that he had rejected, by the way, was not just the instruction to go and utterly slay. And let's get this. The word he rejected was the sermon on his lack of humility and his rejection of the Word of God. Is that not his word in this chapter? And because he had rejected that word, when you and I will not respond to the Word of God, it is a rejection of His Word. When you and I have sin in our heart and we will not respond to the preaching or the reading of the Word of God, if we ignore it, if we shove it aside, it is a rejection of the Word of God. And may I remind you, caution. Handle the Word of God with care. It's His Word. It is forever established. It is that which we need to honor. And when we have disobeyed it, is to seek His forgiveness. Not blame it on somebody else, but be quick to repentance. Thou hast rejected the word of the Lord. What was the word that he had just preached to him? That he ought to repent. He had disobeyed the word of God. May I remind you, it was a partial disobedience. It doesn't matter if it was 90% and 10, it was a partial disobedience. He went to Amalek. He slew of Amalek. As far as we know from the Bible, there were two people left alive, King Agag and the Amalekite that slew him later. But he did not take care of all their stuff either. Because after all, that covetous eye saw it. Oh, but it was for a spiritual purpose. That would be like saying, Larry, why don't you go rob First National Bank and then tithe off of that? I'm sure God would bless your stealing efforts wonderfully. By the way, make sure you steal a lot so your tithe is bigger. We get the point. But so often in our lives, that's the way we behave. How have we treated the Word of God? What has God told us in the matters of family? What has God told us in the matters of church? What has God told us in the matters of our witness? What has God told us in the matters of our behavior? What has God told us? Father, today, I ask you to work in our hearts. Lord Jesus, too often we make excuses, and too often, O God, we blame others. Too often, O Father, we're not willing to allow you to really speak to our hearts. Too often we argue with you over these things. Oh Lord, I pray that you would help us understand this, your word is extremely important. And to deny doing any of it is to deny it. Oh Lord, help us to see that we have been rejectors of the word of God. But oh God, that we might have repentance in our hearts. Lord, I pray you'll work in our lives in these moments. while their heads are bowed and eyes are closed. I spoke primarily to God's people today, but maybe you're here today and you've never accepted the Word of God in your life. In other words, you've never received what God has said to you about your own sin, that you are destined to an eternity in hell, that you must pay for your sin by your death. Perhaps you've never heard nor accepted that Jesus Christ, however, paid that price for you as He died upon the cross of Calvary. And salvation is yours by simply receiving His Word, especially on these things. He that heareth my word and believeth on Him that sent me hath everlasting life. I want everyone here in this room today, before I finish praying, heads are bowed and eyes are closed, that you'd say, "Preacher, pray for me. I'm not sure about this thing of salvation. If I died, I don't know if I'd go to heaven or hell. I don't know this, but I'd like to know this. I'd like to pray for you. I'm not going to call you by name or point you out. If you just slip your hand up very quietly right now and let me see it. I'm concerned about my soul. I'm concerned about nobody looking around." Christian, how about you? What's the Word of God mean in your life? We would say, "I would never reject it," but by our actions we do. Has God spoken to you about something? If He has, don't be like Saul and be a non-responder. Too often we sit in our seats, too often we don't bend our knee to God, we don't bow our head. Too often we say, "I'll do it later," only to put it off for never. Let God have His way today. Lord God, bless and work in this time of invitation. May You be glorified by it. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.